Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back at it on The Fan in New York. Don't mind my voice. I think I got a little cold. I'm not sick. It's just a little cold. I got a little cold. I would have called out if I felt sick. I'm not calling out tonight. Rivals week. The Knicks, aka the Winter Mets, barely beat the tanking Brooklyn Nets. You probably should have went to MSG tonight instead of Barclays. Some got into the Rangers. They found some fight, literally. Igor fighting. They could have won 7-0. They knocked down the Senators 5-0. Happy Hall of Fame induction announcement day. You know it can't be just a complete happy day because one guy's always got to be that guy. But congratulations to Ichiro, Wagner, Sabathia. They're going to Cooperstown. And last but not least, we're going to talk about Aaron Glenn. We're going to talk about Lance Newmark. We're going to talk about the New York Jets. As coming into this week, we were kind of looking at the Jets like, damn, how many guys do you need to talk to before you make a move? Didn't you kind of get a head start on this? Firing your head coach week five? Following that up? Firing your GM? Like, shouldn't you have an idea what you're looking for? Anyway, 888-808-1019. Let's start with the Knicks. You know, I don't think you got to be a Knicks fan to understand that this team has aspirations of being a champion, that this team has changed every single year over the last 4 years that they've been in playoff contention. And I had this take a couple weeks ago when Cleveland faced the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think that night the Knicks might have faced the Raptors. And I was just thinking, like, how did we get here? You know, even with some of the former Nets that were on the Cleveland Cavaliers, like Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and really Kenny Atkinson. I'm like, man, it was just a few years ago I was in Brooklyn watching those guys and, like, content watching Kenny Atkinson coach those guys and what they were. You know, I haven't been to a game this year. I thought about going to the game tonight, but like I said, I'm a little cold. I got a little cold, a little under the weather. I'm glad I didn't go. I knew it was going to be overrun by Knicks fans, but Knicks fans weren't comfortable in that building tonight. They couldn't get comfortable in that building the entire game. And I know Knicks fans have this uncomfortable feeling that, you know what? Here comes another second-round exit. 888-808-1019. You're not winning with a team comprised of all guys that you did not draft, bar. You're not winning with a team that you just put together this summer. You add Mikal Bridges. You add Karl-Anthony Towns. They're still figuring it out. They're obviously going to have injuries. They're obviously going to play a lot of minutes. And this Knicks team, as we've seen, they're one starter away from losing their identity, not knowing what to do, not being able to play without one of their starting five, whether it's Karl-Anthony Towns, whether it's Brunson, whether it's Bridges having an off night. You're not going to be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, win it, and get to the finals and win it because you're going to be facing teams in those rounds that have players that they drafted, homegrown talent that they developed, and then they obviously find pieces via free agency and trades. But, I mean, go and look through the NBA. As I'm sitting here watching the Denver Nuggets, right? The Denver Nuggets, you can use as an example. Jokic was drafted there. When they won, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., guys that were drafted there. And, yeah, you can mix in a Aaron Gordon, a KCP, you know, Bruce Brown. You can mix in some characters, and you have to, right? And that leads me to my next point. You have to have a bench. Nobody is confident in this Knicks bench. The Brooklyn Nets might have a better bench. 888-808-1019. Their bench outscored the Knicks bench tonight. And the Nets have a bunch of random guys. We went from Kenyon Martin to Tyrese Martin. I'm still waiting on my my jersey to come in. My Awoma jersey. Tosin Awoma. I'm just kidding. I didn't order that jersey. I'm glad Ben Simmons had a little cold, was a little under the weather. At least we didn't have to see him. If you would have seen Cam Thomas, shout out to him. He had the Micah Mary Knick cap on. If you would have seen Cam Thomas on the floor tonight, the Knicks lose that game. Because the Nets were missing shots, and Cam Thomas is a bucket. 888-808-1019. What I'm getting at is, yeah, it's a good win. I think both sides got what they wanted tonight. It's a good win for the Knicks to not lose that game, right, and continue the streak of beating the Nets, I think, like 8-9 in a row, 2 years, whatever. We're on two different sides of this thing. The Brooklyn Nets are 14-30. Losing streak at home. Just had one of the worst losses in franchise history. I think the most lopsided loss in franchise history on the road. Fans are just kind of waiting this out. And I remember being on last year, the night that Mikal Bridges was traded. I remember being on last night, or not last night. I remember being on last year and talking about how, oh, this is going to be an interesting dynamic between Knicks fans and Nets fans and how this plays out over the next decade. Not the next 2-3 years, 4-5 years, decade. Because the Knicks window is small. Smaller than you may realize. They got to win now or next year or the year after. I give them a 3-year window before they can't keep all these guys together. They can't pay these guys. These guys start to age out. And then that's it. And again, when you trade your picks away, and again, when you don't draft your own guys, and again, when you don't have homegrown talent, and you put together a starting five that was comprised of all guys that were traded for, it doesn't work. This isn't Major League Baseball. They're not the Dodgers. They can't just go out there and trade and sign free agents and put together a super team and win the World Series. You know? It just doesn't work like that in the NBA. The Warriors, the Celtics. Go and look at the teams. I guess you could point to Giannis. But Giannis, a homegrown guy. Middleton, he wasn't, you know, he'd been there for some years. And obviously they put guys around him like Brooke Lopez, like a Drew Holiday, Portis. Maybe you could point to the Bucks, but they're one and done. They'll probably never win anything again. And, I mean, if you ask me for what my money's worth, being a Nets fan, it took everything from ankle twist to foot on the line to hamstring injuries for the Bucks to get past the Brooklyn Nets. And for my Nets fans listening, it's kind of crazy, right, to see how quickly that era passed. Because before this current streak with the Knicks beating the Nets, it was the other way around. The Brooklyn Nets never lost to the Knicks. KD never lost. Kyrie never. That wasn't something that they were doing here. It would be Julius Randle versus KD in the last seconds of the game, and it was game over. 888-808-1019. So my message to the Knicks fans is, you know, in your heart of hearts, this is going to be another year where guys are hurt down the stretch. Guys are playing a ton of minutes down the stretch. Maybe you use this trade deadline to add to that bench, but ultimately, you probably should have kept Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. 888-808-1019. But you had to do what you had to do, right? Couldn't pay Isaiah Hartenstein enough to stay. Had to go get a big. When's Mitchell Robinson coming back? It does not matter. Ultimately, now, when you go out and you get a Karl Anthony Towns, right, you add a top pick, a number one pick, you add a guy like him to this group that last year was more of like an underdog story. Last year was like, okay, these guys, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, like these guys, nobody, you know, they weren't lottery picks. Nobody expected them to be this. Nobody expected them to be here. They were a fun group. They were an underdog story that you could kind of like really get behind and root for. Even have an OG, you know. But now it's like, okay, now you got Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns. Those guys were picked early and you gave up a lot to get them. And now you have this star-studded team. They're expected to play like stars. They didn't play like stars tonight. 888-808-1019. And I guess you could tell me it was the second half of a back-to-back. I guess you could tell me something about the officials. I saw Tom Thibodeau crying about the officials. What goes on with Jalen Brunson is ridiculous. It really is. He said he thought the refs missed a call on Brunson's drive. They've been missing calls on him throughout the season. He didn't like the officiating. Well, sorry, bro. Tom Thibodeau is going to get criticized for the minutes that he plays his players. And he can cry about the refs. But, like, it doesn't change the fact that, like, this team, like, calls or not. This is not a championship caliber team. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade. I'm just speaking facts. I just watched that game and I'm like, the Nets shot, what, 30%? The Nets shot 37% from the field. 30% from three-point range. They opened up the game airballing. Should have never been that close. The Nets should have never been able to take a lead late in that game to even make you sweat. The Nets turned the ball over 17 times. But, I don't know. Whatever you got to tell yourself, man. Whatever you got to tell yourself to get through tonight, tomorrow, the trade deadline, all-star break. Ultimately, this Knicks team is another second-round exit. And then we'll be chanting outside. Not me, but there'll be some kids chanting outside. Knicks in eight. Knicks in eight. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're going to go to the break. We're going to take your calls. We're going to get to Aaron Glenn. We're going to get to the Hall of Fame stuff. We're going to get to the Rangers. We're going to get to everything else. But we got to start Knicks and Nets. Rivalry week. The guys were out there. Evan and Tiki were out there. Sydney Sweeney was out there. Mikal Bridges got the welcome back treatment. But ultimately, 99-95, the Knicks beat the Nets. I'm not impressed. All right, we got to go to the break and the update. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back. Oh, yeah. There we go, Zoo. Zoo, you're pressing all the buttons, bro. You let everything go over there. I'm just messing with you. Keith McPherson on the Fan inside the 11 p.m. hour. Club going up on a Tuesday. Hopefully I don't have a fever going up. Like I said, I'm not sick, but I think when I got on last night, I was like, I feel something coming up under me. It's cold, bro. It is dumb cold. It's hard to not get a cold. Like, I got to go outside. I have to go outside. I try not to. The dumbest thing happened to me, like, my car keys have, like, a watch battery in the car key. I can't wait to get rid of this car. Car salesman, hit me up. I got some business for you. Can't wait to get rid of this car. It's, like, it's just nonsense. So I go downstairs this morning to start the car up, and the key is not working. I can't turn the car on. And I'm like, well, damn. I'm like, is this dead? It is. So now I got to walk to the store to go get a watch battery, a like Duracell 2025 watch battery to put into the car key to get the car started. Then I can go about my business, you know, running errands and whatnot. But like just walking in the cold, I'm like, bro, like the streets are gray from the snow and the iciness. It's like, man, I hate when you get to this time of the year. Everything is harder. Everything sucks. You got to blast the heat. Then you're getting that like dry air in the house. I'm mad itchy. I'm trying to put lotion on. I'm like itching through the lotion. I'm getting too deep in it. You understand? It's wintertime. Hello, New York. 888-808-1019. Hello, New York. Hello, New York Knicks. Hello, Karl Anthony Towns. You could tell me that too. I was only Karl Anthony Towns second game back. Keith, yo, his thumb, yo, his thumb. That's what I'm talking about. What if his thumb is a lingering issue? What if it leads to another issue? And, you know, he likes to say it is what it is. They asked him about it after the game. He was 1 of 9 from 3 since returning from his thumb injury. He said, it is what it is. It is what it is. No, it isn't what is what it is. We need to know what it is. Are you good or are you not good? So it's a sprained thumb bone chip. They need the all-star break, but you can't limp into the all-star break. Brace yourselves now, for real. Like, it doesn't get simpler. Like, they have a tough strength of schedule coming up, and nobody's going to feel bad for the big, bad Knicks now, right? I low-key called them the winter Mets. They have a lot of similarities to the Mets, not just the color scheme, right? The Mets lost for all these years. The Knicks lost for all these years. But then they got a different management, different GM, guys start making the right moves, bring the right players in, make some crafty moves, but also sign some big name guys. But ultimately, the Knicks got to get to the Eastern Conference finals, or it's going to be another failure. And same thing with the Mets now. Now the bar for the Mets is you got to get through the National League Championship Series, get to the World Series winning, and come on, none of us really are buying it. That's going down. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I just seen my boy Christian Winfield put out, you know, the strength of schedule coming up for the Knicks is tough. So they got to figure some things out. Coming into the Garden next, you got Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, Nikola Jokic and the Knicks, LeBron and the Lakers. And just right there, take the rest of the week off. Take the rest of the week off. They don't have to play until Saturday. So they need to rest, get some treatment, and figure some stuff out. I guess you could just chalk up tonight to, it's the tanking Brooklyn Nets, our little brothers, and it's the second half of a back-to-back. We don't have to blow them out. We just got to survive. Josh is in the Bronx. What's up, Josh? You're on the Fan.
I'm telling you, Keith, man, like you say, you got to crawl before you walk and all that stuff and everything. And like I was telling Big Zoo, you know, this Leon Rose, he's got to pull off a Cashman. He's got to do something unexpected.
He got to do better than Cashman at the trade deadline. He's got to do way better than Cashman be doing at the trade deadline.
Well, you get my drift, man. I'll let you take it from here, man. But you know where I'm coming from, man. And one more thing on the Nets. That Jody, that coach for the Nets, he's a builder. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thanks for the call, Jordy Fernandez. I saw his record tonight, and I'm just like, this isn't fair for this guy. You know, because what they say about head coaches, they put your record on your tombstone. But I like Jordy Fernandez, and I think he knows what's going on. I think we all know as Nets fans, as people in the NBA watch, and I heard the Nets have the fifth best odds in the lottery. Maybe that increased to four after the loss tonight. And I think you got to go through it to get to it. He's coaching this team, and I can tell he is a basketball mind, a basketball guy, a basketball coach. But everybody's pulling on the same rope here. And I hope that he gets 10 years with the Brooklyn Nets where this can turn around and his record will be a winning record. And, you know, we could forget about this. And that could happen soon, man. The Nets have some young guys and some talent, but I know you guys don't care about the Nets. We're talking about the Knicks, right? We're talking about Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, Iron Man, plays every game. And Jalen Brunson, he's not getting the calls. He's getting MVP chance in Brooklyn, but he's not getting the calls he deserves. I don't know. The way I look at it, they have changed this team so much from when it was RJ Barrett, IQ, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo to where they are now. It's just too short a time for them to gel, for them to find the chemistry that it's going to take for them to compete in the spring at a high level with these teams that have already been doing it for multiple years. 888-808-1019. Justin in Floral Park. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Hopefully you're feeling better with this weather,
man.
As well.
You know, and I can't call out sick. Like, I got to take care of my son. I got to hold down my show. I'm on the hot water, lemon, ginger.
Yep, same here.
You know, it is what it is.
So picture this, Keith. I'm in Kalahari, Pennsylvania this weekend. My son, as you know, is a Raven fan. I'm a Bills fan. So the lead-up was insane. We're in the water park. Tons of Bills Mafia there. I'm feeling great. See a couple Raven fans. And what a war it was. My son was devastated, of course, with Mark Andrews forgetting how to catch balls and fumbling. But, you know, they were the better team. But the Bills found a way to win. Now it's Buffalo versus everybody, as we got to face now not only the refs, not only Mahomes, not only Kelsey, not only Taylor Swift, not only now Caitlin Clark, okay, not only Andy Reid, okay? So let's just
hope everyone's pulling. Are you familiar with the Rizzler? Did you see the Rizzler?
Yeah. Okay,
Repping the Chiefs.
I mean, let's just go here. Josh Allen, have a great game, no turnovers. I think this is our time to slay the dragon, Keith. I really do.
I'm rooting for you. I've been rooting since week 16, 17.
Yep. I'm only team to beat them this year, Keith. So listen, I know it's tough to do it twice. It's a different animal, playoff time, different animal in Arrowhead. But they had them beat 3 years ago with that 13 seconds. They should have beat them then. And I'm hoping now with these cast of characters, you know, no big names at receiver.
Doesn't matter.
Shakir is probably the biggest guy, but they get it done. So I'm just hoping run the ball with Cook. Ty Johnson's a weapon.
Ray Davis
is a weapon, and let's just go. Now, one thing on the Knicks. I couldn't agree with you more. Leon Rose got to make some moves, okay? They have no bench. And I played ball back in college, and we had no bench in college. We were done by playoff time. So if you don't get a bench for this team, I agree with you. They're going to be out in the second round. They play no defense, and defense wins in the NBA. So if you don't play any defense come playoff time, you're going nowhere. So they better make a move. I would love, and I don't think it's going to ever happen, but I'd love for them to get Naz Reid. Because if they're relying on Mitchell Robinson, they're insane. This guy will be hurt by game 7. If and when he ever comes back. I thought he was supposed to be back by now.
Yeah, they said he's about to start taking on contact in practice. But, you know, Mitch is, I feel like Mitch be chilling. I feel like he's got
Mr.
no
Glass.
Urgency.
He's Mr. Glass. He's heard every Monday and Tuesday.
He'd be on chill because he probably doesn't want to really come back until we get closer to March, April playoffs.
And Keith, last thing. Are we really going to go into the season as the Yankees with DJ LeMahieu as third base? I got to see the Dodgers sign Kirby Yates over the weekend. I got to see them sign also the guy.
Tanner Scott.
I mean, what is going on here, Keith? Can Hal get the checkbook out and sign Bregman?
They're not affected by the Dodgers' moves.
This is ridiculous.
And they're not looking at each other like, oh, the Dodgers keep signing people. We got to pick it up. No.
They got to. I mean, this is the only way you're competing. I mean, these guys are deferring all this money. Why can't Hal? I mean, he's not a smart businessman. He doesn't know how to do this.
Yeah, they have the banks and the investment firms, and they've been doing it, and they've got the whole scheme down.
I mean, isn't Hal a finance guy?
Yeah, but they're not looking. That's the thing, too. The Guggenheim partners versus Hal Steinbrenner and the Steinbrenner family, they're not looking to defer money. They're not looking to pay players 10 years down the line that aren't playing for them right now. They're paying DJ for the next 2 years. He might not be playing for them this year.
They should just cut losses with him. Well, Keith, root on my Bills. Go Bills, and have a great week, and I'll hopefully talk to you next week victorious.
Yes, sir. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Let's go, Buffalo. I'm all on board. I've been. 888-808-1019. I told you guys week 17, 18, there's nothing left to do but root for the team in Western New York. Not West New York, that's in Jersey. Western, far West New York, damn near Toronto. That's all we can do. You don't want to see Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and then now it's like, oh, they put Caitlin Clark with Taylor Swift. Give me a break. They put them two together. We're going to see them the rest of the way. Of course. Of course. You want to see them three-peat? I don't. I want to see them get knocked off, right? Didn't you guys once upon a time not want to see Tom Brady go undefeated and it happened, right? The Giants put that one L on him. That was great. I know you don't want to see Jaden Daniels, who could have been the quarterback of the Giants. Ooh. Remember all that? Tommy Cutlets. Yeah, I'm about to go show up to the deli and get Tommy Cutlets to sign my Tommy Cutlets hoodie. You don't want to see Jaden Daniels as a rookie get to the bowl. Talk about all the hype and glazing. And then you got to see him twice a year, every year, for probably the rest of his career. Why would he go anywhere else? Why would the Commanders let him go anywhere else they want? Oh, no, I know what you really don't want. Saquon Barkley. 2K say, Saquon Barkley putting the team on his back. Not bad for a running back. Oh, Shane and Dable, they don't value running backs. They value the quarterback. They'll pay the quarterback. They'll pay the most mid quarterback. They won't pay a generational running back because he's a running back. Crazy. You don't want to see him take the Eagles to the promised land. You do not want to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl on the back a Saquon Barkley, where those goofy-ass fans They're going to grease the poles, and you already know. I don't have to tell you guys. You already know. We can't have it. I can't live like this. Maybe that's why I'm under the weather. So I keep thinking about how the sports are not sportsing in my favor. I'm trying to just become a neutral media member and not be a fan. But you know what? I spent way more years on the planet being a fan, hating on teams, rooting for my interests. I can't turn it off. Even when I try, I can't turn it off. The Dallas Cowboys are about to hire Brian Schottenheimer. Are you dense? Are you kidding me? 888-808-1019. We're going to get to the Aaron Glenn conversation. Josh McDaniels, they're getting the band back together in New England. Don't you know? Mike Vrabel, Drake and Josh. Drake May, Josh McDaniels come right back around. Robert Kraft is smitten. He's going to take a flight down to Florida, go to Orchids of Asia, and do what he does down there. Yeah, Kevin O'Connell's back with the Vikings, of course. Of course. 888-808-1019. I want to talk to Josh and Passaic on the Fan. Josh, how you doing, kid?
Good, Keith. You know, about the cold, I got a scooter to school till I get my license, and I'm actually starting my 6 hours next Monday. And especially with the ice on the ground, so I got to go slow.
Nah,
I didn't have a specific part hurting. My entire head was hurting towards the end of it.
Don't take the scooter to
7
school.
7 o'clock.
Where are your parents?
My mother wanted to give a... She's going to give me a ride, but I would have to wait 20 minutes. I needed to go do something with someone. So.
You're different. I wait. I don't care if I'm late to school. I'm not taking a scooter. I'm not walking. I'm in the heat. I'm in the car.
No, I just have to take care of something, not even to do with school, so I had to go. And my gosh, listen, Keith, had I known, I would have stayed inside. You know, I thought my coat and my gloves, I'd be fine. Everything was frozen the second I got there.
I would have turned around, Josh. I don't know how long is the ride on a scooter?
Like 5-6 minutes, and then the ice only started being icy roads after a few streets.
You brave, because I would have hit the outside, felt that first. I'm like, nope, not a scooter day. Not today.
Especially, you know, and at first you don't feel that wind hit you when you're going 19 miles an hour.
So you're going to do this again? You're going to do this again tomorrow? You're going to scooter again tomorrow?
No. I learned my lesson. I'm always giving me a ride tomorrow.
All right. Even if I got away. Shout out to Josh's mom in Passaic.
Yeah, shout out there. Okay, so first, kid, I got to get to my Mets. I don't understand why. They're talking about having Vientos move to first and having a fight out, whoever does best between Mauricio if he's healthy, or who else do they want to put there? They want to put Beatty there, or Cunha. These guys outside, they're 22, 23 years old. Trade for Guerrero. Give one of them. And either
Josh,
Gilbert,
slow down. You can't just trade for Vladimir Guerrero one.
Go heavy for him. To try as hard as you could and have a guy that's only
they
3 years
that
older.
They're looking for a Juan Soto type package. So you would probably have to give up some of those guys you just named and those prospects you traded for. David Stearns is not doing that.
That's great. Guerrero is two or three years older than they are. He's got, if you get him today, he got 6, 7, 8, 9 good years of him. So go heavy for him. Make a good three group of Lindor, Soto, and Guerrero. And, you know,
why would you give up assets for him when you could just pay him with the richest owner in the sport next year?
Because what if the, you know, Toronto's in talks with him? What if they end up getting him? And anyways, why should we waste the year right now with Juan Soto and Lindor? You know, why should we have a guy go to third base?
Because you don't want to pay Pete Alonso. Because you don't want to do right by Pete Alonso. So you're willing to take that chance.
The guy's also 30 years old. And he's not as great as Guerrero. Guerrero's a great all-around player.
He's an all-star, prolific home run hitter. Would certainly help your lineup.
He hit 320 last year.
Last year is over. He'd be better this year. But
I don't think he's getting worse.
What are you talking about? Mauricio, Beatty, Acuna?
Yeah, I like
third?
Mauricio. I like Acuna, but Guerrero's surefire. He's done so a few years already.
No. You can, surefire is not somebody that is on another team. You have to trade for him, and it takes two to tango. Let's talk about your options. You're talking about for third base, those guys are going to compete for third base, right? Or you're saying that you read somewhere they're going to compete for first base. I would move Vientos to first base and let those
guys. Yeah, I read they're going to compete for third base and move Vientos to first.
Okay.
I would just keep Vientos at third and trade two of these guys for Gurriel, because why would I need them if I have a team full of
players? I don't know if you even have the prospects, because I was saying the other night, like, the Yankees gave up four arms. Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, Drew Thorpe, Michael King. Like, you got to, if they're saying they want a Juan Soto type of haul for Vladdy, you got to give up like four prospects and then like two active players.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably worth it. I mean, listen, you never know how these guys are going to turn out anyway. But you want to, you know, win as quick as possible, especially now with the Dodgers. They're evil people, kids. I can't stand them right now.
No, they're not.
Like every 2 days, somebody they finagle another guy in. It's so frustrating to watch.
So I have a couple friends that are Dodgers fans. Thanks for the call, Josh. You're going to be all right, man. You got a lot of time. Watch something else. The Mets aren't. Don't worry about the Mets just yet. And maybe Pete comes back. Maybe Pete actually comes back, because I don't know where the hell he's going to sign. He's going to sign a minor league deal. Somebody, the Dodgers might sign Pete tonight. So I have friends that are Dodgers fans. I've been to Dodger Stadium more times than I've been to Citi Field. You've heard me drop that line. That's fact. I've been to Dodger Stadium across the country more than I've been to Citi Field in Queens. They are loving life right now. They are in a dream right now. They have World Series merch. They are planning spring training trips. They are buying every LA clothing company that could do a Dodgers collab has done it. 2024 World Series champions. And then the rich only get richer after winning the World Series and getting that scent in their nose of being champions and having a parade, knowing Ohtani is going to pitch this year, knowing that they could get Roki Sasaki, who I just saw they brought to the Lakers game. Oh, now he's with LeBron James. I thought he didn't want to be in a big media market. They got him on the floor meeting LeBron James. He's with Rui Hachimura. I thought he didn't want all the attention. Anyway, if you were a Dodgers fan right now, you'd be head over heels in love with your team. We're not Dodgers fans, so we're mad at it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah. Live from New York City, somewhere downtown, Keith McPherson on The Fan. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I'm in here watching the Denver Nuggets. They will head to Madison Square Garden Wednesday. And yeah, I opened up talking about the Knicks and how I don't believe you. I don't believe that they are a championship caliber team. I don't believe they're winning anything. I don't think they get out of the second round. They're 1-5 against true contenders. And watching them in the fourth quarter tonight, I'm like, oh, let me guess. Second half of a back-to-back. They're getting tired. There was a point in the game in the fourth quarter where they were not scoring. And I was just laughing. I'm like, nah. I'm like, the Nets are tanking. But if there's one game for the Nets to win, it's this one. Where not one Nets fan would be like, hey, what are you doing? It's that one. They had a 13-point lead, the Knicks. But yeah, the Nets had a 15-4 run. Ultimately, it is what it is. Knicks get a win. Nets lose another game. They're closer to having top four, top three lottery odds. And if you want to chime in on the state of the Knicks and Karl-Anthony Towns' thumb and Mikal Bridges the Iron Man and the lack of bench that they have and the strength of schedule they're about to face with Ja Morant and some of these other teams coming into the Garden before the All-Star break and the trade deadline. Yeah, they got to make some trades. But what do you have to trade? What are you going to send? Picks? What picks do you have left? You're going to send your first-round picks? I don't know, man. 888-808-1019. Started talking a little bit about Pete Alonso and the Mets and Vladdy. And Vladdy is a Toronto Blue Jay. They signed Anthony Santander. And I just have a feeling that Toronto is going to do everything in their power to try and keep that man. They let the world know they had $700 million for Juan Soto. They also had $700 million for Ohtani. they don't need to have $700 million to sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But it seems like they cannot sign players. They cannot beg people to come up there to Canada. Santander fell in their lap from an in-division rival, right? So I guess you take him on for $92 million. I swear, I thought Soto was going to raise the market for Teoscar Hernandez and Anthony Santander. That's what I thought the holdup was, that they're pointing at Soto's contract like, yo, look at what he got. Nobody was giving them that. But what I'm getting at is there's so many Mets fans saying, Vladdy, Vladdy, yeah, we're going to get Vladdy. Trade for Vladdy, trade for Vladdy. The Toronto Blue Jays have no reason to trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 3 weeks before spring training. Zero. Zero. Because if you're looking at the American League, and if you're just looking at the American League East, they have to think that they can compete. They have to think that they might be able to be a wild card team in a weak American League. Why would you give up your best player? 888-808-1019. And then also, like, with Pete Alonso floating out there, there was supposedly some interest for Pete Alonso. I don't know where he's going to sign, honestly. My theory has been that when teams get into camp, they take a look at their roster. They take a look at some physicals. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe somebody has a lineup that's missing a bat. And then they go upstairs to the GM and ownership and say, hey, Pete Alonso is floating out there. We might want to give Scott Boras a call. But I also think now, I thought the door was closed. I thought that the relationship was fractured and egos and, you know, the fans all turning on Pete and maybe there's no coming back. But yes, there still is. There's still a way. He's never played anywhere else. He hasn't signed anywhere else. I don't know. The Mets could look at their internal options and think otherwise and say, hey, maybe we actually talk to Pete again and Scott Boras again. Let bygones be bygones. And at the end of the day, it's business. You know, you kind of move on from all the stuff that was said or the back and forth or the, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter what fans say. It doesn't matter what people write on Twitter. It doesn't matter what people call up to WFAN and say. What matters is the money. If they meet somewhere where the money works for Boras, for Pete, for Stearns, for Cohen, that's how they move forward. 888-808-1019. Bill is in Howard Beach. What's up, Bill? You're on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing, brother? How is everything?
I'm good. Just, you know, just a little cold. Like, you know, a little head cold.
When you have kids, it happens. It's going to get bounced around, so get used to it.
Yeah, you know what? I see my son with the boogers, and I'm like, bruh. And I just knew I was going to pick up what he had. He had a little bit of a cough, and it is what it is. I'm all right.
Let me ask you a opinion on something, if I may. Okay. Everybody gets on Pete because he turned down the 7-158, right?
Mm-hmm.
He watched his teammates. He watched Brendan Nimmo get 8-162. He watched Edwin Diaz get
102.
$100 million for 5 years. You saw Senga get 75. Where does he not come
Jeff
off
McNeil.
More than that? Jeff McNeil, all these guys are making way over market. So now he's wrong to ask for over market for himself?
No, I don't think he's wrong at all. I think he's been waiting on his payday. I think he probably looks at it as, yo, you had me on the cheap. I wasn't making anything when I came up, when I was the face of the franchise, when I was, you know, breaking the rookie home run record, when I was representing you at the All-Star game in the home run derby. Like, you owe me. You owe me some back pay.
And did he struggle the past 2 years? Fine. But doesn't the postseason kind of put that in all perspective?
I think for guys like us, it does, because especially in New York, all we do is talk about, you know, Aaron Judge. Doesn't matter. Didn't do it in the postseason. So you would think with the performance that Pete Alonso just had in the postseason, it would add value to him, specifically for the team that he did it for. But no, I think David Stearns is a guy that looks at the regular season and those numbers and says, you're declining the market, right? Other first basemen disappeared from the market before you. Nobody else was offering you. We're not going to bid against ourselves. And you don't fit in our long-term plans.
I don't think anybody was making a move for him because they were waiting to see what the Mets do. What's to stop Toronto now from giving him, you know, 5-150?
I mean, they could.
And they could beat and Vlad.
Yeah, they certainly could. I don't know if they will. I think it's a rumor right now. But with the Mets, you know, people waiting on what the Mets are going to do. I thought we were all in lockstep on, like, their offseason They were going to get Soto. They were going to get a couple arms. They were going to get Pete back. And they did not get Pete back. So as of right now, though, it's still up in the air. It's not finite yet.
The arms are another situation. They didn't exactly go and get decent pitching either.
Right? Yeah, they didn't go get Corbin Burns like some people thought. They got Clay Holmes. They got Frankie Montas. They got Griffin Canning. I like the move for AJ Minter, though. Yeah, but I mean, you hope to not see Griffin Canning unless there's injuries. You hope David Peterson holds it down. Kodai Senga is the all-star version of himself. Manaea does it again for another year. It's a lot of hoping, but you hope to not rely on Griffin Canning. You'd rather see, I think, Paul Blackburn before you see Griffin Canning.
I'm going to leave you on this. I'll let you go. I've been a Mets fan a very long time. And right now, even with Soto here, it's frustrating to know that Jake Arrieta retire a Met and Pete won't retire a Met, because it's all we heard about is young core. Well, then you got to sign them too. That's all, Keith. Have a good night. Appreciate it. Take care, bud.
Thanks for the call, Bill. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I know it hurts as a fan. Right, there's guys that you thought were forever Mets, and when you get the richest owner in the sport, the idea is guys will never leave. Zach Wheeler will never happen again. DeGrom, forever Met. Pete Alonso, forever Met. No. Once you have a GM like Billy Epler weigh in, they're going to put numbers down and they're going to caution Steve Cohen against, and Steve Cohen has learned the hard way. And I think David Stearns has his complete trust, because year one was the best year under Cohen. So you hire this guy that's so highly regarded, so highly touted, so many people speak so highly of how smart he is and what he does, and then he brings you the results, you're not going against that guy. And he's not going against you for Juan Soto. He knows you have the money to pay Juan Soto. So that's the type of thing where he's getting out of the way. And like I said a bunch of times, I think Stearns helped structure that contract. That contract was masterful. When we started getting the details of the contract, I'm like, there's no way the Yankees were doing this. There's no way. The Yankees didn't have escalators in their contract where, oh, you can opt out and raise your AAV to $55 million. The Yankees didn't have bonuses in the contract if you win the MVP or the runner-up or whatever. The Yankees, you know, surprised me that they went to 16 years and they just kept going up in the AAV to 47.5. I thought that was crazy that they even did that. But 888-808-1019. When we come back, I do want to talk about the Hall of Fame ballot. As you just talked about, you know, thinking that Pete and DeGrom were going to retire Mets and their jerseys would be retired one day and you'd get to come back to see those days. Maybe you still do. Maybe you still can. Maybe for, I don't know, maybe not. Might get one of those for Carlos Beltran. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame next. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. I see some of the Giants fans want to get into the conversation as well. I see some CC Sabathia Hall of Fame calls. So let me take this break. When we come back, we'll fly through it. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. Okay, I'm back. Quickly here before the next break and update, KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Before the break, we were talking about Jacob DeGrom, Pete Alonso, those guys like retiring Mets, and it made me think about I did not vote for Ichiro. Like, how do you not vote for Ichiro? Either way, I just don't even want to give that guy too much time. He's a disgrace. So Ichiro is not the next unanimous Hall of Famer, but the first Japanese-born player, and obviously he played here with the Yankees. That's one. Billy Wagner, who was quoted in an interview saying he gets noticed most by Mets fans or gets talked about most in his 4 years of being a Met and recognized mostly as being a player for the Mets, probably because the Houston Astros fans didn't exist until the whole, like, trash can banging and stuff. So people, they didn't even care about him back then. What else? CC Sabathia. Man, CC, I love CC. Like, As a person, like I've got to be around him. I've seen him in Legends a bunch of times. I got to really connect with him at the Players Alliance event in Seattle. He's part of the Players Alliance. He's really like the reason Players Alliance started. One of the main reasons. He's like a larger than life guy and figure. When he comes in the room, his voice, the way that he talks. I mean, I love this podcast, R2C2. I want to go up to hear his Hall of Fame speech. I don't know how he's going to do it without cursing. He's going to say cuz. He's definitely going to drop an F-bomb or something, S-bomb. But, yeah, CeCe Sabathia gets in. Of course, he's going to be in as a Yankee. He says, you know, the Bronx is home. You know, I made this my home, and I'll probably never leave this city. He also gave a nod to Harold Reynolds. He said, I wouldn't be here in this moment without Harold Reynolds. After 2017, I was contemplating retirement, and it was he who pushed me to strive for the Hall of Fame, knowing what it would take. 3,000-plus strikeouts, 250-plus wins. One conversation changed my whole trajectory, and I'm forever grateful. Shout out to Harold Reynolds, too, who I've gotten the pleasure to be around. Former Seattle Mariner who was at that same party. And I got to, you know, run into Harold at MLB Network a few times. I just think that's great. So shout out to CeCe, Billy Wagner, Ichiro Suzuki, and the Hall of Fame class. I got to get up there. I asked my wife if she was down to make the trip. She says, too far of a drive with my son. I got to see if I could just go by myself. Avery in St. Louis, back on the Fan in New York, calling in from school. What's up, kid?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good, good.
Getting over your cold?
I mean, it is what it is. I just, like, it's one of those little things where, like Sean Morash has walking pneumonia. I heard that today listening to the afternoon drive, and I'm like, I don't have that. I'm good. I'm fine.
Oh, wow. It was -1 degrees over here in St. Louis this morning.
Yikes.
So. We win.
No, it's not a win. You lose. It's like it's snowing in New Orleans and Florida. Everyone's losing.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, though, I was calling in about CeCe because I have we know CeCe also. My grandparents belong to the same club as he does in New Jersey, and my grandpa's locker is right next to his locker, and he comes and he says hello to my uncle all the time. But there's one really good story I wanted to tell. We went to his celebrity softball game at the stadium.
What year?
That year Judge was hurt. The year Judge was hurt, 2 years ago.
Okay.
At this point, it's 2023.
I worked it 2018 when I worked at Rock Nation. I was part of like the... I wasn't working at Rock Nation when Judge...
Well, that was before I came and found you in the bleachers.
Before you knew who I was, yeah.
Before I knew you were also, but you remember when I found you in the bleachers. Anyway... You're like, who's that kid? And I had to call you up. Anyway, that was funny.
I mean, I don't know. I knew your voice, but I don't know. I meet right, so many right, people right. in the stadium and take so many calls and interact with people. Anyway, go on about CeCe.
Yeah, so after the game, Amber, and Amber's basically the one in that family who does everything. That's
she's amazing.
Says.
She's a queen.
And it's definitely true. And she's very nice. She came on the microphone at the stadium, and she said, anybody who wants to join us at Billy's after the game in about 40 minutes, everybody is welcome. Of course, I had never been to Billy's. so we walked over to Billy's, my uncle and I, and, you know, they didn't say anything. They just let us walk in.
I was saying, you can't get in. You're underage.
They never, I've been to Billy's twice now, and neither time have they ever asked me for a thing. I just walked right in with my uncle. We just barged right through the door. We cut the whole line. But
they,
anyway,
yeah, they could tell you and your uncle weren't going to do anything to anybody.
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile,
right.
There are other people there getting their IDs taken. There's a long-ass line down the street.
And you know my uncle anyway, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But we were in there for about half an hour, and then I said, you know, maybe he's coming by now. Let's go stand by the door. So we went. We weren't hovering, but we were over there by the door. And then he walks in, and there's people like saying, oh, look, it's CeCe Sabathia. And I just I push my uncle just an inch, and CeCe looks at my uncle, and he says to him, no way, buddy, it's you. Of course, you're the first one who comes to greet me. And they were like shaking hands and exchanging pleasantries.
Good.
And so he had like these special... He had people who had paid admission to have a meet and greet in a sectioned off area, but he came out of the meet and greet. He took pictures with us. So nice. I spoke to him. He was just so happy to talk to us. A few months later, he signed the picture for me, and I went up to him when I saw him again. I'm like a little kid. It's like I felt like a little kid going up to him. I was like, Mr. Sabathia. I interrupted him while he was eating lunch. Thank you so much for signing that picture for me. And he's like, yeah, of course.
How old were you in 2009 when we won the World Series?
I remember it so vaguely, but I was 4.
Exactly. That's why you feel like a little kid when you see CeCe.
Exactly.
Great call, Avery.
Yeah, thanks, Keith.
888-808-1019. Yeah, man. I got to get popular enough, famous enough to play in the CC Sabathia softball game. I'm playing in Bernie Williams softball game this year, and I'm golfing at David Cone's golf outing this year. I haven't played in Bernie Williams softball game the last 2 years because I moved on back-to-back years. I have, like, the FOMO. I'm so mad about that. I'm coming back this year for sure. And then I've never actually been on a golf course, but I've been taking swings. I've been, like, hitting off the simulator, the, like, computer, which is, it's crazy how much this, like, computer can tell you about your swing and the angle and the miles per hour and whatever. So by the time, you know, David Cone's golf outing comes, I'll be back out there. 888-808-1019. Danny's in Paramus. Danny, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call. You're a dog.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, as a Giants fan, I've gotten really good at finding the silver lining in things because silver lining's all we've had for quite some time. And I want to tell you why I think that the Giants falling to the third pick is actually good for us. So, first off, have you seen the Giants schedule next year? Like, it's disgusting. Do you agree?
Yes, toughest strength of schedule in the league.
Yeah, I think I saw the 85 Bears on the schedule, the Avengers. It's really nasty. What I wanted to say is, would you agree that, like, next year is an automatic tank? I mean, I think the league has decided that for us, basically.
Danny, we're up against it. I'm going to put you on hold. We got a break. I'll answer that right after this.